Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nazir is daf Lamed Vav. We find ourselves today in the two dots on the bottom of Lamed Hem and Base. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zech and Nishmas Lipa, Gabriela Bashmoa. A couple days ago, we began the sixth parak of the Masechta. If you look back at the Mishnah, you will find that the Mishnah here highlights the three Isurim of a Nazir. Nazir cannot involve himself in one of three activities. And the main discussion of the Mishnah was the consumption of grape product. Anything that comes off the vine is usur, says the Torah. And the Mishnah tells us that primarily the Torah is speaking about the fruit that comes off the vine. Despite how the fruit is produced and how it's eventually... How it's eventually either eaten from the fruit itself or from the product of the fruit, meaning otherwise known as wine or vinegar. So one will be subject to lashes, to malchus, if a nazir were to consume that. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. Yesterday's daf and the day prior, meaning the first two dafim of the sixth perek, really dedicated itself to a discussion of how far-reaching is that isser of grape product. Does it also include the grape leaves? Does it also include the soft edible shoots? Machlok is amongst the Tanaim. And rooted in a very basic fundamental debate in terms of how to darshan psukim. Do I darshan psukim using methodology of klal prado klal, or do I darshan psukim using the methodology of ribu imiut? And that's what we've been discussing the past couple of days. We are now on the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yochanan on the bottom of Lamed Hayim and Beis. The Gemara quotes the following in the name of Rabbi Yochanan: Kol Yisurim Shebetorah Ein Hetem Etzarf LeYisur. When it comes to Yisurim in the Torah, so we don't have permitted foods combining with prohibited foods, chutz mi isuri nazir, except with the exception being isuri nazir. The Gemara now is introducing us to a concept of what's called heter mitzarif leiser. Heter mitzarif leiser is basically the following. We know that in order to be subject to malchus, you have to eat a shear, right? We just yesterday spoke a little bit at length in terms of halach l'moshe misinai. So we know that part of the halach l'moshe misinai is that you have to eat a requisite amount. It's not enough for a nazir to just simply eat a little bit of a grape, but he's got to eat a shear, requisite amount, in order to be subject to malchus. That shear is going to be a kezias, right, for the drinking of wine. So we already saw back on the beginning of the parak, and we're going to see a little bit more in tomorrow's daf. So that the drinking of wine, we're going to debate whether or not the shear is a kezias or whether it's going to be a shear of a revius. But in terms of the grape itself, so the shear is a kezias. So again, that's the starting point of the discussion. So in order for a nazir to be subject to malchus, you got to eat a kezias. Good. Now, in terms of getting to a kezias, so you would have said, I would have said very simply, that what has to be the makeup of that kezias? It's got to be grape. Again, grape or any grape product. But it's got to be grape. What the Gemara now is introducing to us in the name of Rav Yochanan is the following. That Rav Yochanan is teaching us that in the world of Nazir, we're going to say a tremendous chiddush. And that is heter mitzarif le'isser. That if I have a kezias, and the composite of that kezias is going to be grape and another food, and a food which is not going to be prohibited to the nazir. So let's say the nazir takes bread, dips bread into wine, and now you have a kezias. A kezias that is, just for argument's sake, let's say 50% grape and 50% wine. So now, if the, I'm sorry, 50, thank you, 50% grape or wine, I see what I did in my head. Okay, good catch. So 50% wine and 50% bread, and so now it's not a kezias of wine that I'm drinking, or it's not a kezias of grape product that I'm eating, but it's rather a kezias where some of it's iser and some of it's heter. Rav Yochanan says that in the world of nazir, we're going to introduce ourselves to a very interesting halacha, heter mitzaref leiser, that the two of them combined are going to create a total of a kezias, so that a person would be chayav viated. This is a principle known as heter mitzarif leiser, and what Rav Yochanan is telling us is that this is a very unique halacha and specific to the world of nazir. Why should that be? So he goes on to explain. We're on the very bottom of the amud. Ein heter mitzarif leiser chutz misuri nazir shari amar Torah mishras. Because in the world of nazir, what does the Torah describe? The Torah describes mishras. Basically, you're dipping, you're submerging your food into the grape product, into the wine, and basically there now is an infusion, and because there's now an infusion, so therefore it'll combine in order to get you to the shear of a kezias. Okay, good. Adkan, that takes us to the opening statement of today's daf. Right. So in terms of actual ratios and where we're going to say Hetter Mitzarif Lister, I do not know. I mean, that already is an excellent question where you're going to really test my limit of understanding of this principle of Hetter Mitzarif Lister. Okay, good. You stumped me early. But there is a very interesting machlokus, right? It's I have it here as notes. A very interesting machlokus amongst the Rishonim in terms of how to get to the point of Malkus. Meaning, so now the Gemara introduces us to this idea of Rav Yochanan, that in order to be subject to Malkus, you don't have to eat a kezayis of grape product. It could be a kezayis, which is a composite of Isser, and I say Isser, I mean for the Nazir. Isser, wine, and Heter, and bread is an example. And if I eat between the two of them, a kezayis, I'm going to get subject to Malkus. So there is a Rashi. Rashi is not found over here. Rashi is in the Gemara in Pesachim. But there's a... The Gemara in tomorrow's daf. Let's start here. Okay. We have, obviously, this is coming up tomorrow, first day of Sukkot. But the Gemara in tomorrow's daf says that in order to get to this point of Hetman Starf Litzer, so you have to eat a Bevas Achas. So you have to eat at the same time. Meaning you can't just simply have a small bite of grape and a small bite of bread and combine the two. It's in order for it to be subject to Malkus, so you have to eat a Bevas Achas, you have to eat it at the same time. That is what's coming up in tomorrow's daf. Zeh or Zeh will not yield in this principle of Hetman Star Falissa. Rashi, I believe this Rashi is in Pesachim. I could do more to uncover that, but I'm pretty sure. Rashi says that as long as the two foods are put in your mouth at the same time, so then we're gonna apply this principle of Hetem et Starf Lesser. Meaning that according to Rashi, all you need is basically, in order to be subject to Malkus, you need to eat a kezayis. Meaning, in the world of Halacha, anything less than a kezayis is not considered achila. It's not considered eating. So in other words, what Rashi really wants us to do, and not, he doesn't want us to do anything, right? We're talking about Isurim right now. But what Rashi wants is that the Isur be simply, I eat a kezayis, and of that, some of it could be grape. And as long as I'm eating a kezayis, so therefore I'm going to be chayif. So Rashi says that the two, as long as you put the two in the mouth at the same time, one is going to be subject to malchus. Tosfos over there in Pesachim and the Ramban and his parish on the Gemara. So he said, they say no. That in order to get to this position of Heter and Starf Leiser, so it has to first be that the Heter and the Iser are mixed together, blended together, and only after being blended together, and then you eat it, then and only then are we going to apply the principle of Hetem et Starf L'Isser, and the person is going to be subject to Malkus. So just a very basic fundamental machlokus in terms of when do we combine. According to Rashi, we combine as long as you just simply put in your mouth at the same time. That's it. And according to Tosfos over there in Pesachim, and the Ramban also, say no. That in order to be subject to Malkus, there has to be more than just combining the foods in your mouth at the same time. They have to first be blended together, and then and only then is one going to be subject to Malkus. No, right. Well, it's such a unique halacha. This halacha of Hetter Mitzarif Litzer, it doesn't have application in other areas in halacha. The Gemara says it only applies to Nazir. Now, as we'll see in just a moment, the Gemara thinks maybe it can apply to other areas, but the Gemara is going to dabble in that suggestion. But right now, the way it's being presented, it only applies to Nazir. Okay, we're now on the very top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. So Ziri Amar Af Seor Bebat Taktira. So Ziri says, I think this principle of Hetter Mitzarif Litzer has one other application in halacha, so to say, and that is the Isser in the Torah of burning Seor. Seor is leavened product on the Mizbeach. Okay, we know in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, Perek Beis, so the Torah over there outlines that these are the things that go up onto the Mizbeach, but one thing that cannot go on the Mizbeach is Seor. You cannot take leavened product and burn on top of the Mizbeach, meaning we know that Menachos, any Mincha, there are a couple of exceptions, but most every Mincha has to be Matzah, has to be non-leavened. And if you take Seor, and in that same Pasuk, by the way, it also mentions Devash. If you take Seor, leavened product, and you take Devash, and you take honey, and you burn on the Mizbech, so you violate a law in the Torah. But again, like we know, time and again, it's not enough to just simply take it and burn on the Mizbech, but you have to have burn a shear. You have to burn a requisite amount. So the shear is a kezias. So Zeiri tells us that when it comes to the Yisra and the Torah of burning Seor on the Mizbeach, so also we're going to apply the principle of Heter Mitzaref Lisser. So the Gemara says, Kaman ki Rebbe Lazer Dadarish Kol. So the Gemara says, now, what is that rooted in? Meaning, how come it is... Sorry, that wasn't a good sentence. How come when it comes to Seor that you're going to be chayiv even if you're not burning a full kezias, even if it's a kezias of a mixture, and some of that mixture is Seor and some of the mixture is not? So presumably it's because he subscribes to the principle of Rebbe Lazar, who darshens the word kol. I don't have the pasuk in front of me, but the Torah over there, he quotes the kol Seor v'chol devash lo saktir. Okay, Perek Beis of Vayikra. So the must be that it's generated from the word kol, which basically means any amount of seor. Now again, any amount of seor can't be because you need a kezias. So what it must mean is that if I have a kezias, and of the kezias that I'm burning on the Mizbeach, some of it is seor, so you'll be subject to malchus. So the Gemara's only problem with that is, yihachlin yichametz nami. So the Gemara says, well, you know, you have the same concept as it relates to eating chametz on Pesach. We know that eating chametz on Pesach, that also comes with it a liability. The eating chametz on Pesach, if done intentionally, and there was no warning, so that's an Issur Karis. That brings about a Karis prohibition. If there's a warning, witnesses see you and warn you and say, hey, you know, it's Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz, and you defy their warning and you eat it anyway, so you're subject to Malkus. And so according to Rebbe Lazar, you're going to be subject to Malkus even if the entire kezias that you just ate is not made up of chametz, even if only a portion of it is made up of chametz. According to Rebbe Lazar, you're going to be subject to Malkus. Now, just to see if I can make this a little bit more, a little clearer than the way the Gemara presents it, I'll add one other point. We know that in general, when it comes to chametz on Pesach, it's Isuri Mashahu. Meaning, if you eat any amount of chametz on Pesach, that's an Isur in the Torah, right? As opposed to other prohibited foods. So you need to get to a shear. When it comes to chametz on Pesach, any amount is going to be Asur. But we're not talking about Issa right now. We're talking about the point that you're going to get Malkus. Meaning we're talking about a shear that gets you to the point of an onish Malkus. That's why the Gemara over here points out that according to Rav Elazar, without Rav Elazar, I would have said, that on Chametz on Pesach, you have to eat a kezias. What Rav Elazar is telling us is that because the Torah, when teaching us the halacha of Chametz, the Torah says, and again, I'm turning to the Mefarsh on the side of the Gemara for the Pasuk. The Torah says, Kol machmetzes lo sochelu, you're not allowed to eat any leavened food. And again, when it comes to Chametz on Pesach, any leavened food means that if I eat a kezias, and of that kezias that I'm eating, any amount of it is leavened, so then according to Rabbi Laz, you're going to be subject to Malkus. So the only question the Gemara is bothered by is, why did Zeiri only introduce us to Baal Taktiru? He should also introduce us to Chametz on Pesach as well. So he halchilin in Chametz Nami, and Achinami, the Gemara says, you're right, point very well taken. Ella la fugi me'abayi, da'amri yesh aktar bepachus mechazayis, kamash malan ein aktar bepachus mechazayis. So the Gemara says that what Zeiri was just simply doing was removing ourselves from the thought process of Abaye. Abaye is of the opinion that when it comes to burning Seor on the Mizbech, you don't need a kezias. The source of Abaye, what Abaye is based on, is not for now, but that's Abaye's position. Zeiri just telling us that I don't subscribe to that viewpoint, I don't hold to that viewpoint, and in order to be chayiv burning a Seor on the Mizbech, you have to burn an entire shear of a kezias, of which the whole thing doesn't have to be made up of a kezias, only a portion of it needs to be made up of a kezias. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So there's a very novel concept in the world of Nazir, of what's called Heter Mitzaref Lisser, that a Nazir to be subject to Malkus has to eat a kezias, but the kezias doesn't have to be made up exclusively of Yayin or Anavim. It could be that kezias is made up of a combination of part Yayin v'Anavim, part Heter, and yet Heter Mitzaref Lisser. The two of them are going to combine in order to make a requisite shear of a kezias so that the Nazir would be subject to Malkus. Where else do we have this in Halacha? So right now the Gemara quotes in the name of Zeiri, that we have it by the Isser of burning Sor on the Mizbeach, and we also have it by the Isser of Chametz on Pesach, where if I eat Chametz and another food, and the two combine to make a Kazayas, so you're going to be subject to Malkus as well. It kind of takes us to just the introduction of this principle of Heter Mitzaref Le'Isser. Yosef Rav Dimi v'Kamal al Hashmaita. So Rav Dimi was sitting around and he was saying over the sugya that we just learned, quoting Rav Yochanan, quoting the idea that Heter Mitzaref Le'Isser, Eitz ve'Abaye. So when Abaye hears this and thinking about it, so now he's going over in his head a Mishnah in Tvil Yom. Before we learn the Mishnah together in Tvil Yom, so let's remind each other. When it comes to the Tvil Yom, so first of all, what is a Tvil Yom? So anyone who's Tamei and wants to go through a process of Tahara. So basically the process of Tahara, and I'm not talking about Tumas Meis, where right now we're talking about just general Tumah. I say general Tumah, I mean a person comes into contact with an Ava Tumah. Right? So for example, a person touches a Sheretz. Simple example, person touches an Avela. Okay, we're not talking about Tumas Meis. So the Tahara process basically requires a two-step. Number one, go to the mikvah. Number two, wait till nightfall. Okay, so there's tefillah b'mikvah during the day, and then you need Harav Shemesh. You need the sun to set upon you after having gone to the mikvah. Okay, so the two-step process of the Tahara for somebody who becomes Tameh means that if he's a Kohen, for example, he won't be able to eat Truma until nightfall. Meaning only with Harav Shemesh is he allowed to eat Truma. All you need to do is know the first Mishnah in Shas, the first Mishnah in Brachos, and you know this is so. Because the first Mishnah in Brachos says, when can we say Kriya Shema? The same time that the Kohanim are allowed to eat Truma. Okay, so without even having known the Masechta Tvil Yom, so you knew this very basic information. Does any of the Truma get removed after toveling in the mikvah? And the answer is yes. After having toveled in the mikvah, he's not tahor yet. She's not tahora. They can eat truma until nightfall. However, from the point of toveling in the mikvah until nightfall, so some of the truma has been removed, and some of the truma is still there. Okay, there is residual truma in an individual who tovels in the mikvah. This residual truma is an entire mesechta is dedicated to this topic, and that mesechta is called Tvil Yom. Tvil Yom discusses the status and the parameters of somebody who has toveled in the mikvah but hasn't yet experienced Harav Shemesh, hasn't had nightfall fall upon him. There's no action. It's just waiting for the night to come. This Mishnah in Tvil Yom is going to describe the following. One other point of introduction. When we say that a Tvil Yom has residual Tuma, so what exactly does that mean? So it is subject to a debate, but the easiest way to say it, and the simplest way to understand, is that a Tvil Yom is a Sheni L'Tuma, which means that if a Tvil Yom were to touch Chulin, right, non-holy food, so that Chulin is totally unaffected. Because we know Chulin can only get to the point of Sheni, but Chulin can't be anymore. The Tvil Yom is already a Sheni. The Sheni, if he touches anything and transmits to him anything, it's going to become a Shlishi. There's no Shlishi by Chulin. So therefore, if the Tvil Yom touches the Chulin, nothing becomes of that contact. However, if the Tvil Yom touches Truma, now the Truma becomes disqualified. We know that Truma has higher Kedusha, more sensitivity to Tuma. Therefore, the Truma can become a Shlishi. Now, Truma can't go beyond a Shlishi, Truma can't become a Revi, but yet, Truma can become a Shlishi. If the Tvil Yom now were to touch Truma, the Truma becomes Pasal. Now, I could use the word Tameh, but you've been around long enough, you know that if it's the end of the road of Tuma, so the term that's always used when it comes to the end of the road is Pasal, not Tameh. So when the Tvil Yom touches Truma, the Truma becomes Tameh, but we're going to use the word Pasal, and that would be the ramifications of if somebody toveled in the mikvah and touched Truma, the Truma is going to be Pasal. Okay, that's just the ABCs. That's the basic introduction to the concept of Tvil Yom. And with the Shlish and Revi by Truma and by Kachim is Daraisa. The Gemara in Pesachim in the first Perek so it goes through drushas in terms of how we arrive at that drushas and Kavachomers and sound the way the Gemara formulates it. It sounds like it's Dine Daraisa. Eitzvei Abaye, the Gemara challenges now based on this Mishnah in Tvil Yom Hamak Bishul Truma. We're talking about Truma that's made up of now. I'm sorry, Truma that is kind of like hot cereal. Okay, it's wheat or barley, cracked and Okay, and basically turned into like a form of a hot cereal. And the makbish shel chuma. So now, of this hot cereal, so the wheat itself belongs to chuma. Okay, so the hashum v'hashem shachulin, and it's got a little bit of oil in, it's got a little bit of spices, so it tastes a little bit better. Okay, you write all your hot cereals, you know, that you eat from the packets, so they sugar and more sugar and it's, you know, it's without the sugar, it's really hard to eat. But anyway, so the so hashum and shemen, and it's made up of chulin. Okay, so basically, it's hot cereal. The main ingredient, which is the wheat or barley, so that is truma. And yeah, there's a little bit of oil and there's a little bit of spices, and that oil spices is not truma, but the main ingredient is truma. So in terms of how we're going to characterize this hot cereal, so basically the hot cereal is truma, being that its main distinguishing ingredient is made up of truma. So v'naga tful yom b'miksasa pasos kula. So here's the halacha. The halacha is that if I have a tful yom come and he touched just simply part of the hot cereal, so all of it becomes tummy. Okay? So the... And that's because, again, the tful yom is a shein of the tuma. When he comes into contact with truma, so the truma becomes pasul. Here, he's coming into contact with truma. The main ingredient of this hot cereal is truma. So therefore, he pasuls the entire hot cereal. Now, let's invert. Now, let's go the other way. Where? The porridge itself, meaning the wheat itself, is not truma. It's chulin. And what's mixed in is garlic and oil. And the garlic and oil, which are basically flavorings for the hot cereal. So they're made up of truma. So now the halacha goes like this. Naga tful yom b'miksasam, lo pasal ela makom mag'o. So when the tful yom comes and he touches this hot cereal, so the only thing becomes tameh is only going to be the point of contact, and no other part of the hot cereal is going to be subject to tuma. Okay, so...
It doesn't change the whole status of the porridge by changing it to cool.
Correct. In other words, right, we are...
It's
rove, right. In other words, the basic, the fundamental ingredient that makes the porridge, that makes the hot cereal is wheat. And the wheat is not truma. And yes, there is some truma in there, represented by the oil and garlic, but it's not the whole thing. So that's the Mishnah in Tful Yom. So basically, here's what we now know. If I have a hot cereal where the main ingredient is truma, and a Tful Yom were to touch it, the entire porridge becomes becomes tummy. And again, the better word to use is pasul. Fine. A Tful Yom is a sheni.
That's after...
After having gone to the mikvah.
Before going
to the mikvah, he's a Rishon. In other words, he came into contact with an avatama, and so now he's a Rishon. So now, because he haven't gone to the mikvah, so now he's somewhat removed from that tuma. But it's residual. Okay, good. Yeah, I feel the same way. Like the more we go over, the more I start really getting my head wrapped around these ideas. Okay, so we have now the Mishnah in Tful Yom. Good. Now again, remember the context of our discussion. We're talking about this principle of Rav Yochanan of what's called Heter Mitzarf Lister. The Abaye, Rav Dimi is saying over the halacha of Rav Yochanan. Abaye is overhearing this, and Abaye says, wait a second. I don't understand. We have a Mishnah in Tful Yom. So we just introduced ourselves to the Mishnah in Tful Yom, and now here comes the thinking portion of the day. And then we ask the following question. Makamago am I puzzle? Meaning, so good. So the Tful Yom touched a location on the, touched a place on the porch. And that place is going to become Tam. And Abai says, I don't understand. And giving an explanation of why that should be, so the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan, because if I were to have a non-Kohen eating this porridge, so he would be subject to Malkus. We know a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat Truma. In fact, if done intentionally, without a warning, the prohibition is, the onesh is misa bidei shamayim. It is a very serious offense for a non-Kohen to eat truma. Here we're talking about Malchus. It just simply means that over here we're talking about where there was a warning, and we're talking about corporal punishment. Rav Yochanan says that if I have a non-Kohen eating this bowl of porridge, now when I say this bowl, I'm talking about bowl number two, not bowl number one. Bowl number one, the wheat itself is truma, so of course that's going to be prohibited. But we're talking about now bowl number two. Bowl number two, so the wheat is not truma, it's only the oil and the garlic. Why is it now that if the Tvil Yom touches it, it's going to become tummy? I don't understand. So which Rav Yochanan himself gives the answer. And he says, I'll tell you why. Because if a non-Kohen were to eat it, so that non-Kohen would be subject to Malchus. Vizar loka Allah b'kezayis. Good. My timer. Now on this point, we're going to ask a very simple question. Why is a non-Kohen going to get Malchus? Meaning, let's consider. We're talking now about a porridge where the main ingredient is not truma, otherwise known as the wheat. The flavoring ingredients, the oil and the garlic, is made up of truma. And Rav Yochanan says that if I ate a kezias of it, well, I'm going to get Malchus. And because it's so therefore if a Tvil Yom were to touch it, he's going to make a tummy. At least the area in which he came into contact with. But to which the Gemara says, now, if you eat a kezias of it, you're going to get Malchus. Think this through. When you're eating a kezias of this porridge, what went into your mouth? A lot of wheat, a little bit of oil, and a little bit of garlic. So if all you put in your mouth was just a kezias, now if we were to, not a great visual, but if we were now to analyze the kezias of food that currently is in your mouth, so I would say that, and again, just throwing numbers out there, I would say that 60% of it is wheat, and the other four, probably not. Probably even greater. But just again, just to understand the Gemara's question, 60% of it is wheat, and 40% of it is made up of oil and garlic. Oh, and Rav Yochanan says, and he's going to get Malchus. Why?
It's like
Rabbi Akiva's
dipping the bread in the wine.
Oh, so my love, Mishum Dehetim, the only way I can generate an understanding of this, it must be that we're employing the rule of Rav Yochanan of Heter Mitzaref Le'Isser. That must be it. That must be why the person is going to be subject to Malchus. Okay, so really, the entire first Amud of today's Daf is all just an introduction of a concept and a formulation of a question. So let me just quickly recap, and then we'll talk out an answer. So again, the Gemara introduces today's daf with a statement by Rav Yochanan. You know, in the world of Nazi, we have this concept, it's this new concept of Heter Mitzaref Le'Isser, that if a Nazi were to eat a kezias, and the kezias is not made up totally of grape product, but is a composite of grape product and something which him would be heter, like dipping bread in wine, so as long as he eats a kezias of it, he's going to be subject to Malchus. Why? Because this concept of Heter Mitzaref Le'Isser, as it relates to Nazir. The Gemara suggests that maybe this idea also applies to Chametz and Pesach, maybe it also applies to Baal Taktiru, you're not allowed to burn store on the Mizbech, but again, as Rav Yochanan states it, it only applies to Nazir. To which the Gemara says, okay, but if that's true, then I don't understand, because I know the Mishnah Tvil Yom, this is a bai talking, I know the Mishnah Tvil Yom, I know what Rav Yochanan says about that Mishnah in Tvil Yom, and the only way I can understand Rav Yochanan is by using the principle of Heter Mitzaref Le'Isser. Again, the Mishnah in Tvil Yom tells us that if a Tvil Yom were to touch porridge, where the wheat is not truma, the oil and the garlic is truma, so the area which he touches is going to become tummy. Why? So Rav Yochanan, in explanation of that Mishnah, Tvil Yom says, I'll tell you why. Because if a non-Kohen were to eat it, he'd be subject to Malchus. If he ate a kezias of it, he'd be subject to Malchus. To which the Gemara says, it can't be. If he eats a kezias of it, that which is in his mouth is not made up of truma. In fact, primarily it's not truma. Primarily it's oil and garlic. So why should it be? Must be, this is Gemara's now assumption, and this brings us back to where we are right now, it must be that Rav Yochanan is employing the principle of Heter Mitzaref Le'Isser. And that's how we get there. Now, of course, that presents a problem, because the whole opening of today's daf said that Rav Yochanan taught us that Heter Mitzaref Le'Isser is a concept unique only to Nazir. It doesn't apply to any other area in Halacha. And meanwhile, it sounds like it applies to Truma. That's the question. Amar Leilo. So to that, the Gemara answers very simply, you're wrong. You're wrong about your understanding of Rav Yochanan as it relates to the Mishnah Tzvul Yom. My kezayis de'ika kezayis bichde echilas pras. So the Gemara says, do you know when Rav Yochanan says that regarding that porridge, regarding that hot cereal, Rav Yochanan says the kezayis, do you know what he meant by kezayis over there? It means that, you're right, in one spoonful of the hot cereal, and again, the hot cereal, the ingredients are wheat, not truma, oil and garlic made up of truma. If you eat one spoonful of that cereal, so then, of course, at that point in time, you have not yet consumed a kezayis of truma. But here's the story. If you eat one spoonful, followed by another spoonful, eventually the amount of truma you're going to be eating, meaning the oil and garlic content of it, will total up to a kezayis. And this gives us introduction to another basic concept in halacha of what's called kedei achilas pras. If I eat a kezayis, not in one biteful, but incrementally over the course of time, as long as I eat it within a time span of what's called kedei achilas pras, I'll explain what that means better in just a moment. As long as I eat within that time span, it's as if I ate the entire kezayis in totality in one shot, and therefore be subject to the punishment of whatever punishment there is. Well, in this case, would be malchus for a non-kohen eating truma. And that, the Gemara says, is what Rav Yochanan meant in the Mishnah Tzvul Yom. Rav Yochanan did not mean that if I eat one kezayis, I'm going to be subject to malchus because of the principle of hetter and starflaser. No. What Rav Yochanan meant in terms of explaining that Mishnah Tzvul Yom is that because eventually, incrementally, one bite after another bite after another bite, eventually will total up all that oil and garlic, and it will get to the point of kezayis, that's why the person is going to be subject to malchus. Just as a technical note, kedei achilas pras, the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread. How much is a loaf of bread? So if you remember the Gemara in Erevin, the subject of machlokas to Tanaim, some say a loaf of bread is 6 batesim, some say it's 8 batesim, half therefore would be 3 or 4. Okay, so the amount of time that it takes to eat 3 or 4 egg volumes of bread, and so kedei achilas pras is now going to be, if I eat a kezayis within that time span, the time span that a normal person, the Gemara is about to say this, that a normal person eats 3 or 4 volumes of egg of bread, so then the person is going to be subject to malchus. Okay. Yeah, so I'll tell you the little that I know. Hetman Starf Leisur, first of all, if it's out there, it only exists by Nazir. And maybe by Chametz on Pesach, and maybe by Baal Tatir, burning a sore on the Mizbech. But in other words, it doesn't have any other reaching applications in the world of Halacha. And also, the other little that I know is that the Rambam does not bring down the principle of Hetman Starf Leisur as it relates to Nazir. He doesn't mention it. He doesn't reject it. He doesn't mention it. So, is the concept out there? It's certainly out there. Is it brought down as halacha? So, that part is undetermined.
He doesn't
think that
it doesn't possibly.
Unclear. You know, but an absence of a halacha, you know, only can lead to speculation. So, yeah, that principle is brought down. That's the basics of halacha. Okay, again, we'll talk more about kedei achilas pras, but let's get through the Gemara. So, bichdei achilas pras, v'achilas pras daraisi, the Gemara says, and this principle of achilas pras, that's a din daraisa, to which the Gemara answers very simply, amalei in. Yeah, you bet. It's a din daraisa. So, yachem my pliga rabban ala de rabba laza bekuta chabavli. So, the Gemara says, now, wait a second. You're telling me that this principle of kedei achilas pras is a principle that operates on a din daraisa. So, then, let's go back now to the Gemara Pesachim. Now, in the time of the Gemara, there is a dip that was very popular. It's called Kuta Chabavli, Babylonian dip. It was made up of, again, don't ask me for recipes, but it had a little bit of cheese, a little bit of bread inside of it, some honey. Okay, anyway, it was a dip. But the important thing to know about Kuta Chabavli is it had a little bit of breadcrumbs in it. Okay. So some moldy bread went into the Kuta Chabavli, delicious. Now, if you eat Kuta Chabavli on Pesach, so For sure you can't. You're not allowed to eat kutach habavli. That's a given. It's got bread in it. However, that's not the issue. The subject of discussion is, are you going to be subject to malchus for eating kutach habavli? Now, Rabbi Elazar over there in the Gemara Pesachim says yes. But remember, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion of Heter Mitzarf Leitzer, meaning, as the Gemara said on side one of today's daf, that according to Rabbi Elazar, it doesn't. The entire shear does not need to be made up exclusively of chametz. If it's chametz plus something else, that's going to be enough in order to get malchus. The Chachamim say no. No, you're not going to get malchus for eating kutach habavli. You're violating this from the Torah. You're eating chametz on Pesach, but you're not going to get malchus. Why? Because you're not eating a kazayis of bread. Now the Gemara is bothered by what seems to be a very simple and reasonable question. To create Isser.
Right.
But we're not talking about it. Right. And I try to make that point clear. I'll try again. We're not talking about Isser. We're talking about getting malchus. We're talking about the punishment of eating it. You're only going to get punished in the Torah if you eat a kazayis. That's it. So the Isser comes about for any amount, but we're talking about the Onish. So you're going to so now the Gemara is going to ask what seems to be a very reasonable question, which is, I don't understand. You just told me that if you don't subscribe to Heterman Starf Lister, that fine, I get it. But there is a concept of Kedei Achilas Pras, which means that we're going to incrementally keep adding to your your against your account that which you ate, as long as you ate within a shear of Kedei Achilas Pras. So you dip the kutach habavli, you ate a little bit of breadcrumbs, okay, but you're going to keep dipping and you're going to keep eating. And so why not apply the principle of Kedei Achilas Pras to incur a liability? And meanwhile, we know the Gemara Pesachim brings down that this is subject to a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, you're not Chayv Malkus. Sorry, other way around. Rabbi Elazar says, you are Chayv Malkus. The Chachamim say, you're not Chayv Malkus. So the Gemara says, why should that be? Don't we have the principle of Kedei Achilas Pras? And furthermore, you just told me that Kedei Achilas Pras is a Din D'Oraisa. So how can the Chachamim relieve the person from Malkus if we have this principle of Kedei Achilas Pras? Amarlei. So here we get to a fundamental answer of the Gemara in terms of giving a geder, a guideline of Kedei Achilas Pras. Amarlei hanach l'kutach habavli, leave kutach habavli out of the discussion. Deleika kezayis b'Kedei Achilas Pras. Because when eating kutach habavli, there isn't a kezayis. Meaning, yes, there's smattering of breadcrumbs within kutach habavli, but the way a person normally consumes kutach habavli, he will never get to the point of eating a kazayis of bread within Kedei Achilas Pras. And the Gemara goes on to explain, let's say the person scarfs it down, meaning kutach habavli, he eats right copious amounts of kutach habavli and stuffing his face. So the Gemara says, baladaita eats a kol adam. That person is weird. That person is an outlier. And that person is not representative of the normal pace of eating kutach habavli. And so therefore, he's not going to determine what is considered Kedei Achilas Pras. And And if you eat the kutach habavli in the normal dipping fashion that's supposed to be eaten, in other words, you take your food, you dip in the kutach habavli and you eat it, you're just simply never going to get to the point of eating a kazayis of chametz within Kedei Achilas Pras. That's why when it comes to the world of kutach habavli, you're not going to get subject to malchus. Again, we don't apply the principle of heter mitzarif le'isser. That's point number one. And point number two is that, yes, you're eating bread, and you're eating bread on Pesach, and that's aser, but you're not going to get malchus simply because you're not going to eat a kazayis within the shear of Kedei Achilas Pras. And for the person who eats in an irregular fashion, batla daita eitzel kol adam, he's just simply an abnormality, he's an outlier, and he's not going to generate what is considered normal pacing. Right, to create nisr. Right, but right, to create nisr, but not for malchus. Correct. Correct. We're talking malchus. Just as an interesting aside, I'll just bring it up quickly. It's nothing I will resolve. But when you eat food, you make a bracha before and you make a bracha after. When you drink, you make a bracha before and you make a bracha after. And in order to make the bracha, so the bracha before mashu, any amount that you eat is going to require bracha before. What about the bracha afterwards? The bracha achrona. So that you need a shear. Okay, you need a shear. So the Gemara in Bracha, 7th Perek, talks about benching, but it's true by all foods. Afterwards, you have to eat a requisite amount. So the issue that comes up pretty regularly is, let's say you're eating you're sipping a hot drink, like a coffee, like a tea, and you're sipping, meaning you're not drinking. So within one sip, you're obviously not gonna have a shear. But do we incrementally add sip after sip after sip in order to get to the point of a shear to make a bracha achrona? So that issue is predicated on what we just learned together in the Gemara, meaning that we now know that we have a concept of Kedei Achilas Pras. The Gemara says that Kedei Achilas Pras is a concept that operates on a Doraisa level, and then it's an issue, it's a discussion about how to translate Kedei Achilas Pras to other foods. Meaning Kedei Achilas Pras obviously is talking about eating bread, but how does it translate to other foods? So that's a discussion amongst the achronim in terms of how does that operate with, let's say, tea or coffee, etc., etc. Okay, Eitzvei. Well, let's do one more for today, and then we'll finish for today. Eitzvei shtei meduchos achas shoshuma v'achas shochulin ulefanav shtei kederos achas shoshuma v'achas shochulin. Okay, this mission over here is describing the age old shell game, where basically I have two pots of food. One is made up of truma, the other pot is made up of chulin. And in front of these two pots of food, I have two maduchot, two mortars. Basically, little bowls. And in one little bowl, I have truma, and the other little bowl, I have chulin. And then enough leilu toch elu. And then what happens is as follows. So again, two pots, I guess, if you will, yeah, let's say you had a Cohen using one stovetop, and right next to him you had a Yisrael using another stovetop. Fine. And then you had two mortars in front, and the Kohen had his little mortar, I guess, of his spices in front, and the Yisrael had a little mortar of his spices in front as well. And the Mishnah over there describes that. Well, what happened is that, I guess, somebody walked by, thought he was going to be helpful, and basically dumped one mortar into one pot and the other mortar into the other pot. When asked the question, well, which one did you dump into which, he says, you know what? I don't remember. Okay, and let's just assume that, you know, it wasn't perfectly clear that one belonged in one and one belonged in the other. So the Mishnah and Trumas teaches us, Shtehem Mutarim, both pots are permitted. Why? She'ani Omer, because I'm going to say, Chulin Toch Chulin Nafla, V'Chuma Toch Chuma Nafla. You know what I'm going to say? Look, what are the odds? Actually, I'll tell you. This one's easy. It's 50-50. What are the odds that the chuma fell into the chuma and the chulin fell into the chuma? And I'm sorry, the chulin fell into the chulin. So the Gemara says, you know what? I think it's pretty good. So, pretty good? I don't know. I don't know about pretty good. It's 50-50. It's not great odds. Generally, in the world of halacha, 50-50 results in a suffix. We're machmir. The e sagadach, and that's going to prompt now the Gemara to ask the following question. Kizayis bechdei achilas pras daraisa. You know what you just said? You said kizayis bechdei achilas pras daraisa. So I know it's a little bowl of truma that went into the pot. And worst case scenario, the little bowl of truma went into the chulin pot. I don't know why the Mishnah is saying, you know what? That's only 50-50 chance that happened. Yeah, that's a 50-50 chance that happened. And the principle and the concept of Kedei Achilas Pras is a din daraisa, which means that when you eat that soup, so granted, in one spoonful you're not eating a kezayis of truma, but incrementally you keep eating again and again and again, and you're going to get to the point of, if you're not a Kohen, violating the Isser of the Torah of a non-Kohen eating truma. So, and it's a 50-50 chance that this happened. I don't understand the Mishnah Shumas, to which the Gemara says, "Amayim Rina Shani Omer." So why does the Mishnah over there tell us that we're gonna employ the principle Shani Omer? How do you understand that? Elamai Hetzim and Starfle Hitzer. So the Gemara says, okay, what other concept do we have? We also have the concept of Hetzim and Starfle Hitzer. Amayim Rina Shani Omer. Elahanach Lachuma Tavlin Dirabanan He. To which the Gemara says, okay, but remember, over there we're talking about where there was truma in a little mortar, which means that it was tavlin, it was spices. And we know that the mitzvah in the Torah for truma is only for fruit. Now, again, basic machlokas, Rashi throughout Shah says it only applies to grape and olives, no other fruits. The Rambam says that the mitzvah of truma in the Torah applies to all fruits, but we're not talking about fruits right now. We're talking about herbs, we're talking about spices. everybody's in agreement that truma for these are is not a mitzvah daraisa, it's only a mitzvah derabanan. In our discussion, it's not an issur deraisa, it's only an issur derabanan. So now a suffik, a 50-50 suffik on an issur derabanan, we're going to be makel. So for that, that's what the Mishnah is describing over there, and that's why we're going to say, even though I don't know which mortar went in the contents of which mortar went into which pot, but nevertheless it's 50-50, and it's only an issur derabanan, not an issur deraisa, on a suffik issur derabanan, we're going to be makel. Okay, we're going to stop over here, so I'll just quickly recap. Today we introduced ourselves to the concept of Heter Mitzaref L'Isser. Rav Yochanan says it applies only in the world of Nazir. Zairi says that it has one other application as well, burning leavened food on the Mizbeach, leavened bread on the Mizbeach. The Gemara goes over this principle of Rav Yochanan, wonders whether or not you can use this principle to explain a Mishnah in Tevil Yom. The Gemara rejects the idea. Nope, it's not going to be used to explain the Mishnah in Tevil Yom. Rather, the principle of Kedei Achilas Pras is what is explaining the Mishnah in Tevil Yom. And then the Gemara concluded today by quoting another Mishnah about a suffix of whether herbs of Truma went into a pot of Chulin, to which the Gemara says we're going to be Mekel, but the Gemara says we're going to be Mekel because that's only a Din D'Rabbanan, not a Din D'Oraisa.